meets me back in Manitoba many moons ago. Well, it's time for our Abandoned Manitoba segment, and we have our weekend morning show history enthusiast, Gordon Goldsborough, joining us in the studio now. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
Now, remind us of the clue from last time.
Well, I said we were going to consider a major change that occurred in Manitoba agriculture in 1926 that involved a change from wood to steel. And what I was getting at is that that's the year, 1926, that a number of small companies here in Winnipeg merged to form something called Western Steel Products. And that's the name by which it was known for a number of years. But people, because that's a fairly long and unwieldy name, they shortened it to West Steel. And in fact, that company is still around today. And one of the products that they started and pioneered were galvanized steel granaries.
Okay, so let's start with the basic thing. Many people will know, but some might not. What is a granary?
Well, the granary is basically a storage container for grain that's harvested on a farm. And they're intended really for a couple of uses. One, for longer-term storage so that the farmer can feed his livestock, can plant future crops using that grain. Sometimes, though, it's just for short-term storage that you're waiting to deliver the grain to an elevator. And so it's basically what they call on-farm storage. And originally, these granaries were made from wood. In fact, of course, you know that one of my fancies are one-room schoolhouses. And in fact, many of those schoolhouses, after they stopped being schoolhouses, were turned into granaries. So wooden granaries have a long history in Manitoba. And in fact, I'm willing to bet there are still quite a few farmers out there who still use wooden granaries. But by and large, a lot of them now have been converted over to steel.
So granaries are basically gigantic Tupperware containers.
Yeah.
Am I right?
In a manner of speaking, I guess, yeah.
Why the transition to steel then?
Well, steel is so much superior to wood for a variety of reasons. I mean, it's a little more expensive, but it provides a lot of real benefits. I mean, for one, of course, is that it doesn't burn. I mean, wooden granaries can burn down and you lose whatever inside them. Wooden granaries rot. Every so often you hear reports of where an old wooden granary that had a bad spot in it, the wall will suddenly collapse and all the grain just spills out onto the ground and is destroyed. Of course, wooden granaries, animals can attack them. You know, insects, rodents, even larger animals. I know my brother, for example, had a case where one of his wooden granaries, the wild deer, sort of pushed aside one of the boards and over the course of some time ate all the grain in his granary. So, you know, all of these deficiencies of wooden granaries are addressed by steel. You know, they don't leak, in other words, and they also don't rust. Because they're made of metal, people sometimes think, oh, they're going to be bad for rusting. Well, no, because they galvanize them, they coat them in a layer of zinc, and the zinc protects the steel from rusting. So they're good in that way too, but they're strong. You know, the same layer of steel, if you had the same layer of wood or steel, the steel is far stronger. And especially if you sort of turn it into what they call corrugated steel. Corrugated steel is, you know, wavy. In fact, if you can't imagine what that is, take a piece of cardboard, you know, corrugated cardboard, you know, that has the core that's kind of wavy. Mm-hmm. Imagine the same sort of thing for steel, and it makes it exceptionally strong, fairly thin layers of steel.
Like wavy potato chips.
That's right.
Do
very
you like
strong,
how
too.
My helpful analogies are just, you know,
they
helping
give
the listener
crunch.
To visualize.
Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Do we know anything about how corrugated steel was invented?
Yeah, actually, it's an interesting story, I think. So it was back in 1896. There was a city engineer in a place called Crawfordsville, Indiana, and he was sitting in the local pharmacy one day, and he was watching the pharmacist unwrap some glasses that had been shipped to the pharmacy, and these glasses were wrapped in this corrugated cardboard. And he was looking at that thinking, you know, that would probably work with metal too. So he went back to his shop and he created what they thought was the very first example of corrugated steel. And they used it for culverts. And of course, culverts today we use all over the place of, you know, corrugated steel. And so you imagine taking a culvert and turning it upright, make it a little bigger, you've got a steel granary.
When was the first steel granary made?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer exactly. We know that there was a Winnipeg-based company called Metallic Roofing Company, and they had patented something they called a portable granary made of corrugated steel in 1912. You know, and that's fascinating to me because, you know, that's a lot further back than I thought. You know, I would have thought that metal granaries were a phenomenon of sort of the last part of the 20th century. But in fact, they go back over 100 years. And there is, in fact, one of the examples, one of these old granaries out near Killarney, Manitoba, that has stamped on the side of it, patented 1912.
So how does this relate to abandonment?
Of course. I mean, that's the theme of our series. Well, I think there's two ways in particular. One, of course, coming back to these little steel granary that we saw near Killarney. I'm willing to bet there are many others out there as well. We just don't know about them because people don't know that they're of any historical significance. And so I'm just putting this out as a challenge to listeners. If anyone knows of really old, steel granaries, to let me know, because we've been working at the Manitoba Agricultural Museum on sort of innovative Manitoba products in agriculture. And this seems to me to be a perfect example of a good innovative product we should be highlighting. And so we're looking to see how many of these really old ones there are out there. So that's one way. But a second way is that if any travelers are out near the Manitou area, near Manitou, Manitoba, but a mile north of Manitou on the highway on the west side, there is a building standing in a farm field. In fact, I went by it earlier this summer and there was a nice crop of canola growing around it. It was a building built, established by a couple of brothers, Garth and Larry Curry. It was called Curry Brothers. And there's actually still a sign on the front of it that says, "Steel bins built and delivered." And I was curious, what exactly was this? So I did some research and found out that back in the late 1960s or early 1970s, these two brothers saw an opportunity to start building granaries. They'd buy the pieces from the manufacturer, from West Steel or some of the other companies in this business. They would put them together, saving the farmer the trouble, and then they would put them on a trailer and haul them to the farmer's yard. And so during the 1970s, in fact, I found a statistic that in 1978, they were among the top five largest sellers of steel structures in all of Canada. And so they were obviously doing very, very well. But for whatever reason, they're not in business anymore, and the building seems to be abandoned.
Do we know why?
Well, not entirely. The two principals, Garth and Larry Curry, have both passed away now, and it's possible simply that they didn't have anyone wanting to take over the building business. But it's possible maybe there are other reasons. And so the last I've been able to find is that there was a newspaper advertisement for them in late 1988, but nothing since then. So I'm thinking that it's been abandoned for quite some time.
Bit of a mystery. Gordon, thank you for that. I really enjoyed it.
You're welcome.
Now we're doing something a little different for our next Abandoned Manitoba segment. Can you tell me about it?
Yeah, well, listeners in here in Winnipeg know probably that there are a lot of buildings that are used for a while and then they'll just sit empty for what appears to be a long period of time. And, you know, we often wonder, well, what's happening to that building? And it's what I would might call a building in limbo. You know, maybe it'll get used again, maybe it won't. You know, here in downtown Winnipeg, for example, we have the Hudson's Bay Company store. You know, this big building, and they're using a couple of floors of it, but there's quite a bit of it that's unused, and we often wonder, couldn't they use it for something? So there's the challenge. I want to hear from listeners if they have any suggestions of these buildings in limbo. And if they want to call me, they can leave me a message at 204-474-7469. And I'll take a few of these suggestions and we'll talk about some of these buildings in limbo next week.
Sounds great, Gordon. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.